Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe and Angel here. It's Mailbag Monday again.
Hey, we're so glad you're joining us. Listen to this, Joe. We got a nice, encouraging little email. It said, I just listened to the Mailbag Monday podcast for Monday, December 17th, 2018, and what a blessing it was. I loved hearing the stories from both of you. It was wonderful, and it spoke to my heart and gave me renewed hope for my husband. Loved it. Keep it up. That was
all
nice.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Let's go into the first question.
All right.
My wife and I are involved in our church extensively, and we love it. But we are literally doing something at church or church-related a minimum of 4 days a week. We're growing spiritually, and we don't want that to stop, but we are struggling to find much downtime during the week. Are we doing too much at church? How can we keep growing without being at church so much?
Well, both of us are veterans on that. I would, when I finally got came back to God, gave my heart to Jesus, and had a great job as an engineer, moved out, went to Bible school, got out, and got on a church staff. Now I'm not only at church, I'm on a staff at church. Mm-hmm. And we're at church every time the door's open, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, Tuesday night prayer, Monday night thing we had, and then we had a thing on Wednesday night. I'm there all the time, and so my family's there all the time. We never thought anything about it. I used to teach and joke about this. My kids never asked the question, hey, Dad, are we going to church today? Yes, sugar. We go to church every time the doors are open. And I liked it. I didn't see that as a legalistic thing. I didn't think it was a negative thing. It was positive. We're going to go be a blessing, going to be blessed, going to hear the word of God, going to serve and help out some other people. It was just a good thing to do. So what happened was people said, well, we're going too much. We're going to take a day off. Well, the Bible says you work six, you rest one. God set that up. Mm-hmm. You work six, you rest one. You need a day. You need a day to rest. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Just relax. Take a nap. Eat a cheeseburger. I don't know. Watch an old movie. You need a day off. But the other 6 days, I think it's good to be involved. And I was sort of kind of a different mindset. I never thought of church as burning us out or being burned out with the things of God. What happened was we had to watch those that would volunteer too much. And what I mean by that, they were volunteering, teaching, serving, ushering, greeting, but they weren't in the service. Mm-hmm. So they were not where the word was being taught. They were volunteering and parking cars, doing stuff, very faithful, very loving, but then all of a sudden they'd burn out and they'd disappear. What happened? Yeah. We just burned out. Well, that's because you weren't being fed the word of God. Yeah, go volunteer, but you need to be sitting under the pastor's teaching.
Well, I mean, having been a pastor's wife for many years, the first thing that's important about a church is the community that it brings.
Yes.
And the support, especially these days where typically we don't live close to our family like many generations did prior to us.
I know.
And I think that the balance is exactly what you said, is it not becoming works, but you lose the relationship part of it. Because you don't want you're being an example to your children, particularly, and you don't want them, to see just what you do. It's like who you are in Christ that you want them to see, and the relationship that you develop. So, you don't want them to remember that, hey, my dad was an usher, my mom ran the cappuccino bar,
they had no
over
time
the
for
nursery.
Us.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to balance. I mean, your personal relationship with God is foremost important.
Well, there had to be some guidelines we would set up. You know, the Bible says the church grows four ways: prayer, doctrine, breaking bread, and fellowship. Well, that means half of what you do at church is hang out with other people and eat a meal with them. Uh-huh. You're just being yourself. You're not right. Putting on a show or whatever. And so we had to make sure I loved being part of the church, being on staff. But we did realize when church is over, I want everybody in the vehicle and we're going home. We're not hanging out just wasting time gum flapping. So we had a everybody had a function. We had a job description. We had a manual, you know, in the education department. And we had teachers under us. Guys, here's what we do. You need to show up 30 minutes early. Make sure we do this. When everything's over, about 30 minutes after the service, get out of the building. Go home. Take your kids. Don't be hanging out down here in the lobby. You want a fellowship? Take somebody to lunch. Have somebody take you to dinner. But you need to have it's a balance. You have to be an adult and control your own life, not let somebody else control it. But I love church. I love being involved in it.
Yeah, and I think it's very, very important. It's a very important part of your community. But as far as your growth goes, you know, the Bible says that the satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb.
Yes.
But to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. So the important thing is to stay hungry for God.
Yes.
And to do that, not only in your personal life, but like you said, sitting in church, getting the word, feeding on the word. So you're always hungry for God. And that's where the growth comes from. You know, the Bible says you draw nigh, God says you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you.
I know.
So it's not about what you do. It's about your heart.
It's a heart issue because you can be in church every day and not know God from a stick in the mud. And we would meet people that would drop out. And I've had teachers sometimes, well, we're just burned out. We're burned out. You can't burn out if you're hanging out with God. You cannot burn out if you're hanging around God. You weren't hanging around God. Yeah. You were hanging around the people of the church. You were working very hard. You never read your Bible. You never prayed. You never fellowshiped with God. You never worshiped. You burned out because God didn't make you to do that. God made you to hang out with Him. And even in the New Testament, actually says, the Bible says, we perceive these ignorant and unlearned men have been with Jesus. What makes them different? They've been hanging out with God.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't their degree, their education, wasn't what they did, wasn't their title. They had been hanging out with God, and it manifested in their daily life. We perceive these things. And so if you go to church, go do what you need to do, but make sure you're being fed the word. Make sure you're in the worship service.
I think you say you're married, and I think that maybe you and your wife need to sit down and say,
let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about our priorities and set some boundaries. And
just don't get deceived into thinking that because you're on working at church, volunteering, you have a position that your self-worth. Your self-worth is you know Jesus.
Yeah.
Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not what you do down there. It's who you already are.
Yeah.
But if you're being fed by hanging out with the people, that's not right. It's by hanging out with God. You know, once you hang out with God, God loves people. He'll go have you help some people.
But truthfully, iron sharpens iron. When you do hang around and fellowship with others, it does spark growth. So
yes, it does.
Every individual family has to have, and a person has to find that balance.
Well,
what
was great about the fellowship at church was you realize we'd meet all kinds of families from all kinds of backgrounds at our church, and you realize, man, that guy, he's a better husband than I am. Man, he's a better father than I am. Man, he's doing better with his kids than I am. And it provokes you to good works. That's what fellowship does. It provokes you to do better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not hanging out with people like you. You're hanging out with people better than you, weaker than you, have more stuff, less stuff. And it's, hey, I need to start thinking about my life and get better. Iron striking iron. Man, that's incredible. That happens at church around being around good
people. And I will say that there's seasons. There's an ebb and flow in life.
That's good.
And when I had little kids,
that's
it
good.
Took everything I could to just get them dressed and get them to church. And then once I got to church, it would take me 30 minutes to get them inside the nursery.
Yeah. And then when you got them out, make sure you got all your clothes. Where's your shoes at?
My daughter's shoes and socks. That was a weekly battle to try to find them. She would get in the car and they would.
Yeah, we made weekly donations to the church.
Yes. So, I mean, there's seasons when you can be more, you're free to be more involved than others. So I just wouldn't get under condemnation about it.
You
know, just take a step back, talk to your wife, and you'll find the balance.
Yes.
Follow peace. That's always my motto.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, Joe, let's take this next question.
Okay.
Do you think we can be living under a curse because of something our grandfathers did or were involved in? Anything from just being mean or from doing ungodly things? We personally give, tithe, fast, pray, and lead as godly a life as we know, but financial and health issues are a struggle still after 50-plus years of marriage. We try very hard to live by His word and speak it. Not that we are perfect. It would be nice if God would bless the work of my 77-year-old husband so he could enjoy his old age instead of having to work so hard. Thank you for your insight.
Good question. A lot of people have that question. You know, what you have to do, you got to go right back to the Word of God. It says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I've got big family. You know, my dad had 12 brothers and sisters. My father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. Big family. I said, well, that's a family curse, and that's a family curse, and that's a family curse. Well, your father's involved in this. Your grandfather's involved in this. Your uncle did this. Everything from witchcraft, you name it. No, I got born again. I was taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I have been legally redeemed from the curse of the law. For curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus bore that curse for me when he went to the tree. So I don't care who my family. And people, and when I grew up, they love family trees, Angel. You know, well, my family tree, I burned every family tree I ever had. That's not me. I belong to a new family now. My family's been born again. I was taken out of that family. I have a family of believers called a local church. So, no, I don't chase that or believe that or watch that. And so I would have relatives every family reunion. Well, you know, that's just in the family. Well, it's not in my family. I have a new family now. Well, that's just in your family, son. That disease is in the family line, and that weakness is in the family. Not in my family. I came out of that family. I'm in a new family. I have been redeemed from the curse. The curse, by the way, was poverty, sickness, and death. So what happens is you get in the thing of thinking, well, it's just a family curse. No, it's not. There was a guy, 2 Kings chapter 4. He died. His wife comes to the prophet of God. My husband, she said literally, it says in the King James, my husband loved God, feared God, served God, and died broke. My husband loved, feared, and served God. And the prophet said, of a truth, your husband did love God, fear God, and serve God. But he was stupid when it came to money. He died broke. He did love God, but he had no concept of a budget, how to handle money. And so when he died, this godly man, who the prophet said was a godly man, the Bible says he was a godly man, he died broke. He didn't have a clue how to have a budget, handle his money. And so when he died, the people that he owed money to were coming to take his two sons to spend the rest of their life working to pay off their father's debt. That was not a curse. That was stupidity of the father. That was the ignorance of the father. You know, everybody needs to learn about money. It's just part of breathing, you know. Well, I had a plaque one time that said, God, money, one I serve, the other serves me. And so I tell people, you need to learn how to budget. You need to go to a financial seminar, read a financial book, but don't blame this on some sort of curse, because there is no more curse. The blood of Jesus delivered you from all curses. There are no curses coming down the family line. Now, I've done stuff with family before. I said, well, you know, I'll do the Walls of Jericho thing. We did it in businesses a couple of times. Well, I think there's a curse on our company. Well, no, there's not. We've been redeemed, but we need to walk it out. We'll do it. We're going to go down that plant. This one plant I worked at, we had layoffs 2 years in a row. And me and this other spiritual guy, so we can't say, hey, you know, we need to do something about this. So we got our family every Sunday after church. We go down to that big plant, and we walk around that whole building on Sunday and just walk and talk. And Father, we walk. And now on the seventh day, 7 days later, we walked around it 7 times. Man, we were hungry. We worked up an appetite. But we walked around that thing 7 times like they did the Walls of Jericho. No. We're redeemed from this. This does hold. This plant's blessed, and we're highly favored. We're going to prosper. We're going to say what God says. The next year, we had no layoff at Christmas time. We never had another layoff again. You almost have to take your authority. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. You're not afraid of the devil. You resist the devil. You know, we have authority, but it's been given to us by the Son of God himself. We have authority. We need to use that. So we're not running from anything. I tell people every day, you wake up, you're chasing hell. Hell's not chasing you. Jesus said, I'm going to build me a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And so you got to change your attitude. I'm not running from anything. Every day you wake up, you got to make the devil break out into a cold sweat. Make him think, oh, my goodness, he's up. Yes, I am, big boy. I'm looking for you. So it's sort of an attitude thing. Don't let that family stuff get in. Well, it's always been there. No, it's not. You're born again. You're not in that family anymore.
Well, I remember when I was 21, I think, my husband and I were starting on the road, and we were leaving another ministry, and we were giving them an 8 weeks notification that we were going to leave, and we had decided we wouldn't book any meetings because we didn't think that was an honorable thing to do.
Yep.
Before we told him, and he said, that's fine, you're done in a week. So here we have, I think I had $200 in the bank, and I had no bookings. And now no job. So we're kind of hanging out there. So we're scrambling to try to get some bookings and everything. And we're believing God for a motorhome. And I thought, well, the money's going to come in through the mail. And so, yeah. You know, a little bit would come in the mail, like $50 here, $75 there. But of course, you know, a motorhome was quite a bit. So finally, we went to the bank and miraculously did get a loan for $40,000, which now this was, you know, I was 21. I'm 55 now, so quite a long time ago, but $40,000 was great. We went and looked at a motorhome and found the one that I knew. This is my motorhome, and it was $130,000. I'm going to tell you, $130,000 motorhome today.
Might have been $100 million. Might as well have been this year.
It might as well have been. And so I was like, this is it. I know this is what God has for me. And I knew I had tithed, I'd given and everything else. So we finally got a meeting. We get to the meeting, and it was extended for several days. And every night people come and say, hey, we've given $1,000, you know, tonight. We just believe in God. And we're like, look, it's coming into the offering. It's coming into the offering. Well, several people told us that they were giving $1,000. So we couldn't wait. You know, finally the last night of the meeting came. They give us a check. And we get in the car and open it up, and it's $200
for the entire meeting,
and we had to split that with the music guy. So I was like, "What happened to our motorhome money?" And you know, right then, we start every cursing scripture you can think of. You know, they stole our motorhome money, so it was like, you know, "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. You know, we're going, and there's not that many, so we're just going for them. And all of a sudden, up from our hearts comes, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So we made a decision right there. We're gonna bless that. We're freely give that money. We know that it was stolen, but we do not want that to come on that church's, you know, we want to bless them. So we freely give that to them. So we gave it and said, all right, well, God, now you got to give us that motorhome. Well, I kept expecting every time I go to the post office, I'd be so excited. There's going to be a check in there for $130,000. So, you know, and, you know, like she just said, her husband's 77. I was 21. I mean, both ages are at the extreme end of the faith life and the faith journey, you know. So it doesn't really matter what your age is. So finally, the guy who was selling us, who wanted to sell us the motorhome, he had said he'd hold it for us for 2 weeks. He, to my knowledge, was not a believer at all. And he called us and he said, well, you know, when are you going to come get this motorhome? And said, well, sir, there's a problem. Now, listen, I had put blessing scriptures all over my house. I had, you know, the little, what do you call them, the cards. I had them written everywhere.
Those confession cards everywhere.
Yeah, I was just going for it.
We're letting it rip.
He calls us and he says, when are you guys going to come pick up this motorhome? And we said, well, sir, we have a problem. You're asking $130,000? We have $40,000. So he got real quiet on the phone and then he said, you young people are doing a good job. Will you come pick up this motorhome? So for $40,000, we got $130,000 motorhome. So sometimes the challenge is that you're making a paycheck your source.
Yes.
And you cannot put God in that kind of a box.
Don't box him in.
Because it came from a total non-believer.
Yes.
I knew that motorhome was mine. I knew God had that for me. And as a couple of times in my life that's happened. One time I walked into a house and I knew, this is my home. I know it. And so there's things that you know that you know that you know in your heart. Don't box God in. If you're tithing and you're giving, then you have every right to receive a blessing.
Yes.
It is not God's will for a man 77 to be working so hard he can't enjoy his latter days.
Nope.
So we will agree with you that God is going to bring the increase, but you're going to have to expand your vision beyond that paycheck.
It starts with your mouth. You just start thanking God in advance. You just got to start thinking, Father, I don't care how old I am, how young I am, it's all God. God is a miracle-working God. He loves to show off.
He does, and I don't believe by any means that it's not because you're not wise or anything, but if you do need counsel on finances and all, find someone around you that can help you invest or help you. You know, that's what the church is here for.
Yes.
This is the iron sharpening iron we were talking about in the previous question. So, good question.
Yeah, you know, there's so many stories, you know, agents I could share because we've lived through so much.
Mm-hmm.
I remember working 3 minimum wage jobs when I was going to Bible school, 3 minimum wage jobs between my wife and I. We're barely putting milk on the table. And I'm mad. Yeah, I'm going to Bible school. I'm hearing that God wants to bless you and prosper you. So I had a 30-minute break. I had the car. I didn't have the car. Denise was driving it back and forth to where she worked. I walk home. I got to walk this other place. I'm working 2 jobs. jobs. I started noon at one place. I get off at 5. I started 5:10 at another place. I worked to midnight every day. We did that for 3 years. And so we had one of those little sandy ceilings, and I got my Bible, went home just for a little bit, and I came to eat. We're broke. We need money. And I remember opening my Bible up and said, God, you supply all my need. God, you said you supply. And so I took my Bible and I threw it at the ceiling, and it stuck. It just shredded my Bible. And then, God, you promised, that I would be blessed and I would prosper. I threw that at the Bible. And so my wife came home about 30 minutes later for just a few minutes, and she said, what are you doing? So my Bible's hanging from the ceiling. It's just shredded. It's on the floor. I said, I've been talking to God. God said, put me in remembrance of my word. I've just been reminding what he said.
Yeah.
And so I've just been quoting scripture. So I go to work that afternoon. The guy says, hey, Joe, we're getting ready to start another shift. And said, I'm making minimum wage. He said, we'd like to hire you as a foreman. And so I went from making $3.40 an hour to $8 an hour. And by the way, it's March. He said, but we noticed you did not get a Christmas bonus. Here's a $1,200 check. That's your Christmas bonus. We forgot to give it to you. And so in one day, it's the word of God. It's not your age, your IQ. It's not your education. Right. It's all God. And God loves to show off.
Yeah.
So give him an opportunity. Just don't let that thought, well, we've done this. No. It's all God. God's good. The devil's a thief. Just start thanking God.
Yeah, and one little last thing. Always, I always rejoice with other people when God blesses
them. That's good.
Because, sometimes you can get envious. And
sure.
The Bible says when there's envy and jealousy, there's strife and
every evil
thing.
Work, because the devil sets you up. You're trying to believe something. And all says, hey, you know what I got? And you think, what'd you bless them for? Why not me? And don't do that. You rejoice with everybody. That's critical, Angel.
It is
you
really critical happy. Because, man, I am so excited because you know what? I know God is no respecter of persons.
Come on, sugar.
If he's blessed them, he is so ready to bless me too. So,
oh, that's so good.
We are excited to hear. Please let us know when that big step turns around.
Come on, Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, that wraps it up for another Mailbag Monday. Got your questions? Get them into us. Send them into mail@joemcgeeministries.com. We'll be glad to answer them. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys.
Thanks so much, guys. We love you. Please remember to listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And next Monday, we'll be back with another wonderful Mailbag Monday.
Yes, we will.
Have
God
a great
bless,
one.
Guys. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.